6:09 at Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT. Welcome back to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on your home of the second-ranked Fighting Irish football team, Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT, along with Vince D'Addario and Sean Stiers. I'm Darren Pritchett. National Signing Day, Notre Dame Clemson, Irish hoops taking on Duke. This is a fun day to be a sports fan in our town. Right now, we're going to go back to National Signing Day. Mike Singer covers recruiting for Blue and Gold Illustrated. He rejoins the program on, I guess, what we could call his Christmas Day with these recruits now signed, sealed, and delivered for the most part. Mike, good to be with you. How are you?
I'm awesome, Darren. Appreciate you having me on.
Thank you, as always, for your time. What do you believe is the strength of Notre Dame's class of 2021?
It's got to be the lines. You sign five offensive linemen, you sign four defensive linemen in a class right now that has 24 signees. So, you know, you're close to half of your guys are up front. And, you know, you got to start with five-star offensive tackle Blake Fisher. We haven't talked about who's going to be on the front cover of our recruiting issue at Blue and Gold Illustrated, but I can imagine Blake Fisher will probably find his way on there with not only his big ranking and his big personality, got a good smile, looks great for the cover. So yeah, I think Blake Fisher is the guy you got to start with when you're talking about this class, and then, you know, moving to a guy like Tyler Buchner, who you know, the coaches Brian Kelly and Brian Pelline raved about in their signing day press conference. So, you know, both sides of the line, you know, moving to the D-line, Gabriel Rubio, very good defensive tackle, and then the three defensive ends, Jason Anye, Will Schweitzer, and Devin Upau. Schweitzer and Upau are more of those lengthy edge rushers who are going to need to put on more weight. Anye's going to come in already 250 pounds and built well. So those three guys are all three-star per Rivals, but have very high ceilings. So you look at both sides of the line and then go to the quarterback position. Tyler Buchner has the chance to be special there.
Well, so are there a couple guys that you think could jump in and be the quickest to contribute with this group?
Yeah, Buchner actually might have been one, but I feel a little not so sure on that one because he didn't have a senior season. He's coming into Notre Dame with one year of starting high school experience. His junior year, it was a pretty good one. He accounted for 81 touchdowns, but honestly, I remember back in the spring doing some videos on our YouTube channel with Lou Somogyi talking about, Can Tyler Buchner start as a true freshman? And, you know, that's still certainly a possibility. That room's going to be wide open. But, you know, he's got that kind of talent. You know, you typically don't see offensive linemen playing as true freshmen. But Blake Fisher and Rocco Spindler, with their size and strength already, honestly, I could see them, you know, if need be, or if they're just too darn good as early enrollees, playing a role early as well. Moving to the last guy I definitely would want to hit on is Lorenzo Styles. This might be the easiest one for me, because, I mean, Notre Dame hasn't really had much of a punt return game this year. You know, the Solano guy just, you know, he's doing a good job with the fair catches, but Lorenzo Styles could go back there and really make an impact, and you would be, you would trust him to catch all these balls cleanly, and then he could make some nice plays after catching them. So Lorenzo Styles, and could also play slot receiver. He could play out to the field. That guy, because he committed so early and stuck so true to Notre Dame, I feel like people might be forgetting about Lorenzo Styles a little bit, but he might be the most talented recruit in the entire class.
Mike, I'm going to go to something that Brian Kelly said in his presser. And as someone that doesn't look at film and evaluate talent, when I hear the coach say something comparing a player to Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, it catches my attention, like, hello. So what do you see when you look at Prince Kali on film?
Another guy who could play early, too, honestly. Forgot about him, Darren. He is a beast, and he is someone who no one had been able to see. During his junior season, I think he had one or two offers, and then in January to April-ish, you know, he landed 30. All of them, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, you know, LSU, Notre Dame, all the schools offered. So I was able to go see him 5 days after his commitment in August, and then again for a game in October, David Crockett versus Daniel Boone in the Musket Bowl. It was amazing. And he is just incredible. At running back, he toted the rock and, you know, class 5A Tennessee, Mr. Football, looked amazing at running back. At linebacker, it's when he's out in space and it's just see football, go get the guy. Like, he is just incredible. As a junior, he was playing safety. I think he played one game at linebacker because their starting linebacker got hurt in the playoffs. So he is just learning how to play the position. So if he is one of these guys who starts at Rover and moves to inside linebacker, you know, he will be very good in that transition once he learns to play the position more. But Rover, going into this season, Darren, we thought Owusu-Koramoah might take that transition that Drew Tranquil did. We thought Jeremiah Owusu could move into Buck. Well, that didn't happen because, one, he's just too stinking good, and you felt good about some of the your inside backers. Well, that might end up being the case with Prince Kali. Like, he might just be too impactful at Rover. He's a guy from day one who could play start on special teams at least. And maybe, you know, just maybe he could start as a true freshman at Rover with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah likely heading to the pros.
Mike, Brian Kelly said in his press conference today that they still want to add two running backs to this class. Any ideas on, you know, who those guys could be?
So if you go to blueandgold.com and you look at the commitment list, it says Notre Dame has 24 signees. But there's one player that's committed to Notre Dame that has not signed, and that's Logan Diggs, the running back from Louisiana. Last Wednesday, so just 7 days before National Signing Day. And I want to add real quick, this signing day is the real signing day. There's no early signing day. This is signing day. The February 1 is the late signing day. I just want to say that real quick. So Diggs picks up an LSU offer, guys, and is very strongly considering the Tigers. I believe, depending on, you know, what time people are listening to this back on your guys' podcast, they LSU might be getting a second running back signee. So, you know, that might not be something Diggs really wants to hear, but I am told that LSU would like to take Diggs as a third running back. Well, does, you know, and Notre Dame wants to take two, which, you know, I think Logan, when he committed to Notre Dame, was pretty on fired up about the idea of just being the lone running back in a class. But Lance Taylor is a very good recruiter for the Fighting Irish. I expect, maybe shouldn't say expect, it's certainly possible, maybe trending into the direction that Diggs will sign with Notre Dame this week. But, you know, as we're recording this, all options are really on the table for him between Notre Dame and LSU. Then the other guy to mention is Audric Estime, the four-star running back from New Jersey. His situation's similar to Diggs in that, he might skip this early signing period that lasts from Wednesday to Friday. Both are kind of thinking about that, but both are also maybe like, look, you know, who knows what happens in January? Could I lose my spot here? So I think Estime might sign this week with Notre Dame as well, and he is a Michigan State commitment. But I don't expect him to sign with the Spartans. I think Notre Dame, whether he signs this week or in February, Notre Dame's the team to beat there. So I think Notre Dame's leading for both of these guys, Estime more than Diggs. But hey, Brian Kelly seemed pretty confident that they were going to get two this week, so I'll take his word for it.
Brian also mentioned he expects to add someone on the back end. Are there several candidates, in your opinion, that could fill that slot, or do you think Brian has his eye on one person in particular?
I think maybe a little bit of both there. The main guy to mention right now is Sierre Wright from Los Angeles, Loyola. This is the guy who Notre Dame has been recruiting since August 2019. Longtime target, visited for the Echoes Award Show last December, came back with his mom and a couple other family members for a self-guided tour visit December 5th weekend in South Bend. So Notre Dame's the finalist there. He skipped this early signing period. That's his plan, but hopes to going to announce his decision January 2nd He was going to do it at the All-American Bowl. That was canceled, but he's still kind of doing like a virtual All-American Bowl announcement and then sign in February. You know, maybe if Wright doesn't choose Notre Dame, which my guess is that USC is the favorite, you know, Notre Dame might look at other options.
They end up signing Ron Paulus III today. Of course, Ron Paulus's son, a local guy here from Penn High School. And it seemed like, you know, Brian Kelly said, well, we were going to sign two quarterbacks all along and we let all these guys know. But it seemed like it caught, you know, a lot of us by surprise. You know, it sort of slipped in there today. So what do you think of the signing? You know, did it kind of catch you off guard a little bit? What do you think of Ron Paulus when you look at him on
film? Oh, no, I knew it all along. Oh, heck yeah! That was probably my favorite thing about the Kelly and Pulliam's press conference, is just kind of, yeah, this is the plan all along. Hey, you know,
right.
I'll take their word for it, but I was stunned. It was kind of one of those things that you weren't shocked by, because it's like, okay, I'm not sure what other schools had been recruiting him. He hadn't really announced any new scholarship offers in quite some time. I know part of that was because, you know, he was hurt as a junior. But I figured, okay, yeah, Ron Paulus, that'd be a heck of a preferred walk-on. But, you know, he's on scholarship. That surprised me. But, you know, listening to the press conference, Brian Pulliam made really good points about, you know, quarterback numbers. And I also think that quarterbacks transfer. Like, you have a quarterback transfer every other year. Luce Emoji's done that research at blueandgold.com saying, like, you know, X amount of quarterbacks have transferred over this amount of time, and it comes out to, like, you know, you get one every other year transfer. So I think Ron Paulus III is pretty likely to stay his entire career, and you can really mold him. So if he's not starting, you know, by year three, you know, he might still stick around, because, I mean, if you cut him, that kid will literally bleed blue and gold.
Right.
So, you know, I'm still kind of surprised, guys, honestly. So, but hey, that's signing day for you.
Mike Singer covers Fighting Irish football recruiting for Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. He joins us on WSBT Radio. This is always an unfair question to ask, because I want to ask, who do you believe is the most underrated player in this class? And to, I guess, say he's underrated, we have to compare what other people think about him and then try to figure out, you know, how much difference there is in the evaluation of that particular player amongst all the people that do this for a living. So I guess do it the best way you think possible. Is there a player that you feel like is a little underrated in this group that could be a major impact player down the line?
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Okay.
So Brian Pulliam made a great point about this in his press conference, that this is a very difficult year for the star rankings. Like, you're not able to go see these guys in person. So many of them didn't even get to play senior season. You know, mentioned that with Tyler Buckner. He's enrolling early. You know, California may or may not play a spring football season. So, hey, good for him to go ahead and enroll early. But, you know, there's several guys who may have blown up big time. If they would have had that senior season. But a couple of guys that I definitely want to hit on. I am the president of the Joe Alt fan club. So if anyone wants to sign up for that fan club, you got to tweet me at @rivals_singer. This I talked about at the beginning of the segment, the beef, the offensive line, and how that is the strength of the class. Well, Joe Alt is the lowest ranked of the five offensive linemen. But I actually think he might have the highest ceiling. It's close between him and Blake Fisher. This is a kid who played as a junior at about 6'6", 230 pounds, and now he's at about 6'7", 280 pounds. So you put on 50 pounds in a year. Now, I've done that, but different pounds. He's putting on the good 50 pounds. And he did not lose that athleticism. I mean, he's a little bit slower naturally, but when you add that much weight, but still looked great. He's playing tight end still at the beginning of the year and catching touchdowns. So I think Joe Alt is going to be an excellent offensive lineman. Jeff Quinn's fired up about this guy. And I think he has, you know, the Mike McGlinchey level, potential. I mean, there's a lot of really good three-star prospects in this class, but Ryan Barnes is a defensive back from Maryland. You look at his offer list, you know, all of the elite schools were after him, but just such a great program fit for Notre Dame with one of just the best kids I've covered off the field, and he's pretty darn good off the on the field as well. Versatile defensive back, corner, nickel, safety. You know, he can really do it all. I think he fits the mold of that long, rangy, free safety. But he looks really good at corner too. So that's a mid-designation 5.63 star per the rival scale. But in my opinion, he's a no-brainer 4-star.
I wanted to circle back to Lorenzo Styles because he's a guy 6 foot, 190 pounds. You hear all about his explosiveness from everybody. And, you know, Notre Dame has obviously shown that they like these bigger-bodied guys, you know, Claypool, Boykin, McKinley right now. But is Styles, you know, like, do they need to get more of those kind of guys going forward? Does this kind of profile need to be a little bit, you know, more what they're looking for in receivers?
I think that boundary, you know, what they've had in the past few years has been so great. So I think you continue to recruit those kind of guys, and they have that in this class of Deon Colsey, big-bodied, 6'4", 200-pound receiver. Styles is a perfect match with him because I think he would be so great in the field, but also in the slot with the jet sweep. So, yeah, I think those guys complement each other well, but really to answer the question, I'm all about best available, you know. The X's and O's are important, but you got to get those Jimmy and the Joes. And if they fit your program and what you're trying to do in the locker room to translate that on the field, that's so important. And Lorenzo Styles just checks all of the boxes. Incredible family, incredible kid, really funny. He's going to be amazing in the locker room. Already such a strong connection with the other signees in the 2021 class. And then, yeah, just on the field, he's such a twitchy, smart athlete. He plays corner. That's something we haven't even talked about. Lorenzo Styles might be even better at DB than he is receiver. And he played a ton of running back this year, and he's such a good kick returner and punt returner. So his father, Lorenzo Styles Sr., was a linebacker for the Ohio State Buckeyes in the 90s. And you can just tell that Lorenzo Styles is someone, you know, who is, you know, coach's son growing up and just has such a smart mentality when he plays the game.
Mike, my final question for you is this: a pandemic, a program that recruits nationally, you can't have kids on campus to visit and check out this great university and the fantastic campus. I'm just wondering, when all is said and done, how successful of a recruiting year was it, let alone all the great players they brought in, how they had to do it and how they had to adjust on the fly?
Definitely ask me in 4 years, that's for sure. But in my opinion, I think they did a phenomenal job. I remember I was writing a recruiting mailbag article on blueandgold.com, and one of my subscribers asked me, how was Notre Dame recruiting during the pandemic? And this was maybe around April or May. And I thought they were doing a great job. But that was also around the time where Notre Dame went like 7 months without landing a new commitment. And I'm thinking long game, like, you know, where are things projecting? And a lot of other people are thinking, you know, what's happening in this exact moment. So, you know, you see the seeds planted. Look, Notre Dame loses a commitment from Deon Colsey, who we just spoke about, that big boundary receiver. Well, they kept on him. They couldn't get him back for a visit. Because of the pandemic and the dead period, but they still outlasted a bunch of other schools and ultimately beat out Georgia, Florida, Tennessee for that kid. I mean, they lost a commitment from someone like Philip Riley, and they worked the four-star corner from Florida, and they worked to get him back in the class. So I think hats off for me to the Notre Dame coaching staff. You know, I think they did a really good job. Yeah, I know a lot of Notre Dame fans don't love seeing all the 3 stars, but when you break them down individually, like Joe Alt's my favorite recruit in the class, I think. And he's 3-star. He's like the lowest ranked kid in the class. And Ryan Barnes is another lower ranked 3-star guy, and couldn't be higher on him. So again, ranked currently number 9 in the Rivals team rankings. I thought this class would probably be in the 8 to 12 range. That lines up. And overall, it's a really good class for Notre Dame.
Well, Mike, tell us what's happening right now at Blue and Gold Illustrated or blueandgold.com. I'm sure a very active site today.
Yeah, very active. Traffic's been through the roof. Yeah, if you guys just head to blueandgold.com at 7 p.m. Eastern. We're actually doing a live show on YouTube with myself and Patrick Angle, so make sure you guys check that out. Go to blueandgold.com for all the information on that. And Clemson game, you know, recruiting, Clark Lee, defensive coordinator stuff, we got it all there.
Well, Patrick's got to do that. Then he probably has to cover the Irish basketball game after that. I mean, he may have to get a pay raise.
What else?
don't say that.
Lou, I didn't say that. That was Sean that came up with that idea.
What? Hey!
Mike, it was good to catch up with you once again, and congratulations on the job you do at Blue and Gold Illustrated. I can just hear the passion of following recruiting in your voice as you talk about these players. So we always greatly appreciate you jumping on board and talking Fighting Irish football with us, and hopefully we can check in again soon.
Anytime, guys. You have a good night.
You too. Thank you so much. Mike Singer, Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com, joining us on WSBT Radio. It is 6:30, and when we come back, it'll be rapid fire on 96.1 WSBT and streaming live on the SportsBeat app.